This morning's New Testament lesson comes from Mark 13, verses 24 through 37. But in those days following that distress, the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its light. The stars will fall from the sky and the heavenly bodies will be shaken. At that time, people will see the Son of Man coming in clouds with great power and glory, and he will send his angels and gather his elect from the four winds, from the ends of the earth to the ends of the heavens. Now learn this lesson from the fig tree. As soon as its twigs get tender and its leaves come out, you know that summer is near. Even so, when you see those things happening, you know that it is near, right at the door. Truly, I tell you, this generation will certainly not pass away until all these things have happened. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. But about that day or hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. Be on guard, be alert. You do not know when that time will come. It's like a man going away. He leaves his house and puts his servants in charge, each with their assigned task, and tells the one at the door to keep watch. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know when the owner of the house will come back, whether in the evening or at midnight or when the rooster crows or at dawn. If he comes suddenly, do not let him find you sleeping. What I say to you, I say to everyone, watch. The word of the Lord. On this first Sunday in Advent, we lit the candle of hope. This draws attention to the anticipation of the coming of an anointed one, a Messiah. The word Advent means coming or arrival. The focus of the entire season is the celebration of the birth of Jesus Christ in his first Advent. We are now officially in the Christmas season. Even though retailers keep trying their best to get us to think about Christmas earlier and earlier. I can't remember what store I was in, but I recall seeing the Halloween aisle. And as the aisle was emptied of ghosts and goblins, it was being loaded with Christmas tinsel and light sets. It's easy to get wrapped up in the commercial side of Christmas, to overspend our Christmas giving budgets, celebrating the season's festivities with friends and family. When we look at the scripture lesson, the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give us light. The stars will fall from the sky and the heavenly bodies will be shaken. It certainly sounds like doom and gloom. With what is happening in the world, it's easy to buy into all that doom and gloom. The demonstrations in Ferguson, the war against ISIS, two homeless men in Atlanta shot while they were sleeping. It is easy to get caught up in the negative, to begin to feel there is no hope. But God gave us a great gift when he created Adam and Eve. He gave us the ability to choose how we think. No other living creatures can choose how they think. Animals react to stimuli and make decisions, but they can't choose how they think. Only we can do that. Each morning when we wake, we can make a conscious decision about what kind of day we're going to have. Am I going to be Debbie Downer or Positive Pete? There have been times when I've been accused of being too positive and therefore not realistic in my thinking. I have always believed that there is a better chance of shaping reality if you approach reality with a positive attitude rather than a negative attitude. Yes, there are going to be times when it seems the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its light. But God has told us through Christ's teachings to always have hope. Webster's dictionary defines hope as a desire accompanied by expectation of our belief in fulfillment. You cannot be a Christian and not have hope. Hope is linked with faith because faith is the basis of our hope, and hope is the object of our faith. As Christians, it is difficult to imagine having no hope or no faith, a hope of eternal life, a hope of salvation, a hope that there will be and can be a better tomorrow. Can you imagine what it must feel like to be hopeless? So many of the people that I worked with over my career as a probation officer believed there was no hope for them, had no dream of a brighter tomorrow. For a variety of reasons for them, the stars had fallen. Let me tell you about Felix. Felix was a young man who had not quite reached his 16th birthday, and he accompanied us on a trip to the old scout camp up at Camp Gross. And we'd taken several of our probationers to the camp to try to give them an experience. Most of them had never been outside the city. They'd never experienced sitting around a campfire, looking, breathing the open air, and enjoying a good time. But Felix had a goal. His goal was to go to jail. Because once you went to jail, you became a real man. And that night that we stayed at Camp Gross, I kind of adopted Felix and sat with him for several hours talking about his future. And I couldn't convince him that there would be a better tomorrow. And unfortunately for Felix, his actions and his behavior had come to the attention of the police over and over again. And he'd become known as a troublemaker. And they were just waiting for him to be 16 years of age when he could be arrested as an adult and put in jail, fulfilling Felix's dream. Well, Felix didn't have much of a good start in life. His mom was a crack addict. He never knew his father. And his mother's boyfriend was the dealer who kept his mother supplied. So for Felix, life was not very bright. But he felt that if he could just go to jail, he would be a man and would have accomplished something. Well, the day after his 16th birthday, he got his wish. He went to jail. Not for long, only for a few days. But something about that experience made him realize that he didn't want to be in jail. We saw Felix a few weeks later. We were no longer working with him because now he was an adult. And he had been on juvenile probation. But he said that jail actually had changed him, that he wanted something better in life, and he actually had gone out and gotten a job. Sadly, that wasn't enough for Felix, because 2 weeks later, we'd learned that Felix died of an overdose. But that made me promise to myself that I would do what I could to prevent future Felixes, to prevent kids like him from dropping through the cracks. And fortunately, there are those who throughout my career, who we felt that we really could help and did help, and came back and actually thanked us for the guidance that we had provided. As Christians, we have a responsibility to spread our hope, to share our faith, to be more understanding and tolerant of others. As Christians, we are charged with making a difference. I want to share an excerpt from Steve Goodyear's book, 1 Minute Can Change a Life. In it is a collection of 60-second readings that truly change a life. One of the readings tells a story of when newscaster Paul Harvey relayed a story of a woman from Michigan who vacationed in Florida. She found a secluded spot on the roof of her hotel to soak up a few rays of sunshine in order to get a total tan. She had removed all of her clothing. Within a half hour, the hotel manager was beside her, insisting that she cover up. She argued that nobody was in sight. He agreed. Problem was, she was stretched out over the hotel skylight. It occurs to me that the hotel's problems began because somebody was looking up, which normally is an excellent thing to do, at least in attitude. And what a surprise lay in store that day for those who were looking up. You see, some folks spend their lives looking down, downcast in spirit. They hang their heads and lead negative and joyless lives. Others are constantly looking out. They live in fear and watch vigilantly for problems, real or imaginary, that threaten their happiness. Still, others always seem to be looking around, forever searching for a better partner, a better job, or a better deal. They keep a watchful eye out and seldom experience a lasting commitment. but a few vibrant folks can usually be found looking up. These resilient individuals have learned how to look beyond problems to solutions, beyond discouragement to hope, and quite often the payoff is joy. No matter if your habit is to look down, look out, look around, or look up, the only important question is, in which direction will I look today? He adds a P.S. and says, may I never miss a rainbow or a sunset because I'm looking down. As we wake each morning, no matter what kind of day we anticipate, no matter how bad the weather might be, before your feet hit the floor, pause and remember, for this is a day the Lord has made. Let us be glad and rejoice in it. Our faith, no matter how slight, gives us hope. Remember Matthew 17, verse 20? Jesus replied, because you have so little faith, truly I tell you, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move. Nothing will be impossible for you. Returning for a moment to today's lesson, Mark 13, is an account of Jesus' conversation with his disciples regarding the second coming. Verse 26, Jesus tells them, at that time people will see the Son of Man coming in clouds with great power and glory, and he will send angels and gather his elect from the four winds and the ends of the earth to the ends of the heavens. The second coming. Despite all the suffering and anguish that is present in the world, Jesus wants us to know that there will be a time when there is the reality of a Savior who comes to us, who came to us as a babe in a manger in Bethlehem, who comes to us in the midst of our struggles day after day in the presence of the Holy Spirit, and who is coming again. Christ is coming for us and making all things new. The Christ who has come is coming and will come again. How do we know this for sure? In the passage, Christ uses the fig tree as an illustration of the second coming. As soon as the twigs get tender and its leaves come out, you know that summer is near. We know winter is over. Spring has come. We don't question whether it will happen. The only remaining mystery is when. In verse 32, Jesus tells the disciples, but about that day or hour no one knows, not even angels in heaven, not the Son, but only the Father. Verse 33, be on guard, be alert. You do not know when that time will come. Verse 34 goes on to say, it's like a man going away. He leaves his house and puts his servants in charge, each with their assigned task, and tells the one at the door to keep watch. This parable about servants being left in charge of the household and left to watch the door for the master's return indicates that to watch is not to be found asleep at the post of service when the master comes. It implies an attitude of obedience, of commitment to the will of the master. Jesus has come, is coming, and will come again. Will we be ready? Will we have lived our lives according to the teachings of Jesus? Love the Lord your God with all your heart and love your neighbor as yourself. God sent Jesus to the world to demonstrate God's hope for the world. Christmas is not about all the presents, the Black Friday shopping, or all the beautiful decorations. Christmas is about the God who comes to us, like he came to a group of shepherds living under the oppression of Roman rule on a hillside in Bethlehem. In the midst of their oppression, the angels declared peace and favor and good news of salvation. That is what Christmas is all about. As we anticipate the arrival of Jesus, let us do so like little children, waiting for their parents to return home after a date night. We patiently watch out the window, not knowing when they might return, but we know they are coming home. As we await Jesus' arrival, let us do so with excitement, with joy, and with loving hearts. When we light the Advent candles, we do so with anticipation, watching and waiting, waiting and watching. Christmas is the happiest time of year. Jesus is coming. He has come, is coming, and will come again. And in his coming, may hope be reborn in us today. What I say to you, I say to everyone, watch. Amen.